Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Seems can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let's get to headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia miles in inventory, the Sportage, the Sorento, and the Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Heat back on the hardwood tonight against the OKC Thunder. Tyler Hero and Jaime Jaquez did not travel with the team to OKC with their stomach ailments, but was not ruled out that they could possibly join the team for tonight's game. They have this game, and then they have tomorrow night against the Mavericks before heading off into the All-Star break. And so we'll keep an eye on that. Hey, speaking of hardwood, congrats to the Miami Hurricanes basketball team. They won a game yesterday beating Syracuse.
Who is terrible?
All right.
They won a game, Leroy. It's only their second conference.
I listened to the end of it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
All right.
I was in the very car, good. So I just gave them a little whirl.
The Four Nations faceoff begins tonight with Sweden taking on Canada at 8 o'clock on TNT. Tomorrow, USA takes on Finland at 8 o'clock. That's on ESPN. For those who want some of your Cats players playing for their country, you can check that on out. Marlins pitchers and catchers reported to Jupiter today. Sandy Alcantara, he is on the hill facing live hitters as we speak. And I got to say, he looks good. I'm watching some videos on social media. He looks pretty good.
I mean, he can get out of bed throwing heaters. It's just a matter of whether his body will hold up, right?
There's actually, it was funny, in one of the videos you could hear in the background. I think that was just them getting ready to trade him.
Why do I picture Peter Bendix like Hamburglar every time you do that? That's great.
What did that say on the gun, Rico?
Wait, really?
99.
Wait, Why his assistant named Rico?
Oh, you know, dude. Like, you know.
I don't know, dude.
Out of curiosity, who was Mr. Jada? Mr. Jada. What was his name?
That was Todd.
He went from Todd to intern to Rico.
Rico's not an intern. He's just part of, he's just in the front office.
Oh, he's the guy who holds the gun, the radar gun.
I mean, it sounds 99. Like... he's like, it sounds like he's getting, you know, hip with the times. Somebody got to speak Spanish in the organization, right? Oh, what is wrong? Lashing out everybody.
I'm not, dude. I'm not. The Miami Dolphins have hired Bobby Slowick as their passing game coordinator. He was canned as the Texans offensive coordinator. So he is now in the fold.
So my question is this.
Yep.
There's a couple of things I want to see go away in the offense because I'm tired of seeing the results. And the success of said play I'm getting ready to mention is not greater than the failures of said play.
Mm.
If I see one more damn bubble screen to anybody, I'm going to lose it. So the first thing he is going to do as passing game coordinator.
Yep. Crumble it up.
Yeah. Because how many times did we see that play ran and it was second and 13, second and 14? So, yeah, no. There is a specific time when you run that. One of the reasons why it worked the year before, and people don't understand this, is that they were playing off so much on Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle because they didn't want to get beat deep because Tyreek was killing them down the field. So he didn't get any press coverage. So then you run that bubble screen and you can get blockers down the field on those guys. This year, they played a little tighter. So when the bubble screen was thrown, there's a guy who's guarding him who chases him back there. So, yeah, let's do away with that.
We'll see. I know that Dan South is saying that there is some buzz that this may mean Mike McDaniel's giving up play calling. We'll see.
Can I clarify this?
Yeah, you can.
Giving up play calling, giving up play calling is, or calling plays is no big deal. Here's why. In your preparation during the week, as a unit, the offensive coordinator, whoever's going to call the plays, the quarterback, the offensive line coach, they all talk about what plays should work against these said defense. We practice a lot more plays than are on the play sheet during the game. So by the time it gets to the game and the game sheet, and we see what we have, right? Everybody on the offensive side of the ball has an idea of what plays are going to be called in certain situations. So the fact of you may have five plays for this situation, seven plays for this situation, depending on what formations you want to go with. We already know what plays are going to be called. So the fact that one person is voicing that over another person really doesn't matter that much, but people think it does. All the work has already been done. So from that standpoint, when you go from one play caller to another, it really doesn't matter because during the week is when you fix all that. Now in the offseason, I'm more than sure after watching 17 bubble screens for loss, they gonna all come to the conclusion that we ought to let this one go.
Yeah, but I think it probably goes to like this. Like you look at what happened with the Eagles last year, like Nick Sirianni gave it up and kind of focused more on just running the team. He gives it over to somebody like Kellen Moore.
I understand.
All so that. I think if it goes to Bevel, if it goes to Slowick, I don't think it's like Mike McDaniel's input's not going to be there at all. But I do think that very clearly there was some, I don't know, running of the team slippage that seemed to happen last year with all this lateness. Maybe he felt like maybe there's a part of Mike McDaniel that feels like it's more important to just be a leader of the team and have an oversee over everything than just the micromanaging of it.
I get that could all very well be true, but what I'm trying to avoid is people using that as a reason as to why the offense didn't look as good, right? Who calls the plays on game day, right, is not as important as the plays that you have determined you're going to run during the week. And I don't know whether the offensive coordinator or that guy will help that portion of it. But by the time you get to game day, the passing coordinator and all and whoever ends up calling the plays, all the stuff that plagued them last year will already be fixed. And the play calling is just an additional thing. So I get what everybody thinks. You say, oh, you can just concentrate on this or concentrate on that. Yeah, but he's an offensive guy. Right. And I've heard many a times where we'd be running offense and I'd be standing next to Denny and Denny will say to Brian Billick, hey, let's run the ball more. Right. So whoever's calling the plays don't matter because that's what we're running.
Also, in the midst of all of this yesterday, there's a report. You know what? I'm going to take a break because I want to bring this up to Leroy because he hates Aaron Rodgers. So I want to give him some.
No, I already Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to tell you.
We'll take.
I'm going to fight you on this. We will fight with the ridiculousness of what I heard this morning.
Okay. We'll see if we're on the same page with that. We'll take a break here on the show. Back with more to this.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's our number 2 with Tobin and Leroy.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, we got a Valentine's Day giveaway for you. We're going to hook it up here for Valentine's Day and make it easy for you by giving you a chance to win tickets to the Miami City Ballet and a bouquet of flowers for Valentine's Day performance. All right. So keep on listening to our show for details on how you can win. If you can't wait to win, purchase those tickets at MiamiCityBallet.org and check that on out. You know, it's the Frog Boy's favorite ballet is Swan Lake because frogs love lakes.
Okay. Fair. Just, you know, minding my business.
You know what? Nothing like Tobin treating you like a carnival monkey at my house.
Hey, Marcos, do the tongue thing.
Well, I mean, fairness. I missed out on a Super Bowl ad.
Hold on. In fairness, there was a commercial that had the tongues, and he had said initially, I could have done that.
I could have done
then
that.
Then I made him do the tongue thing.
Yeah. Nothing like turning the whole
I was shocked. Skinny Robbie.
Man, I know. But he takes it that. Seriously, dude. Like, he was taking laps around the – this isn't Ozempic. This is – he was working for it. In the middle of the actual Super Bowl, he's taking laps around the pool. I know, because –
probably
was,
smart. That Ozempic – that is epic. Is going to have people grow third eyes out of their head.
Oh, for sure. You're going to see the commercials.
Did you know there's going to be some ramifications for it down the line.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They're like, everybody now is a cyclops. Skinny, though. Abs.
Yeah.
But their eyes fuse together.
Did you or someone you know take Ozempic?
I apologize. Class action lawsuit. But I apologize, Frogboy. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. Of doing the tongue thing.
That's okay. And by the way,
yeah.
And by the way, why everybody want to hold Tadpole?
Man.
Like, I'm like,
he's a dork.
I said, man. Hey, man, he doesn't want to be held. Why does everybody think they a baby whisperer?
No, my wife thinks she's a baby whisperer. And also, like, she's just doing this to everybody's baby. You know? She's
yeah,
just
like, ooh, baby, trying to tell you.
She kidnapped a baby that's in church or something?
That's
like
an intangible
that.
Thing.
Possible. I can't rule it out. She does love kids. She is
I love kids too.
Yeah. At the end of it though, the baby warmed up to her. Tadpole warmed up and he was splashing the pool. He was trying to put his feet in, so she won him over.
And she's like, see? She's like, nailed it. She nailed it. She's like, You can't run from Mrs. Tobin. She's like, You're gonna like me.
Yeah. I did have a weird moment yesterday. Leroy, you may be onto something. I had to bring the boy to the club, to the comedy club yesterday, and I'm fixing
something.
Oh, did
you?
Yeah, it was don't.
Who was telling jokey jokes?
It was a local show, but unfortunately, I made a scheduling error in which I had a backup guy working it, and he didn't know what to do. So I had to go there with the baby in my arm. And I'm like doing some sound check on the stage. An older woman comes and is like, can I free your arms for a second while you do that? And I was like, he's not going to like this. And he basically assaulted her from that. Yeah, it was a guy.
Yeah, the old. I mean, if you want to talk about if the group of ages who likes to pick up babies, the old love to pick up a baby.
Love to pick up babies.
Man.
Speaking of the old,
I gave him some dap. But that's it.
Speaking
of the old, Aaron Rodgers.
See?
No.
You want to hear? Can I tell the story that I heard this morning that almost?
Yeah.
I couldn't even enjoy my ham, my bacon and egg sandwich that Mima made. It started tasting bad. Right? So Greeny says, here's what I've been hearing. Because the money situation is not clear between Matthew Stafford and the Rams. The Jets are going to trade for Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers is going to go to the Rams.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard that. I had heard there's some Giants Stafford buzz.
Oh, is it Giants? It might be Giants. You're right. It's the Giants. Matthew Stafford to the Giants. Aaron Rodgers to the
Rams.
Yeah.
Like an E.
Right. And I'm thinking to myself, why would you? Because if you look at how they play very similar as far as how they throw the ball and stuff like that. You know what I mean? They're very creative and wise on how to deliver the ball and whatever. Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers may be a little better at it, but they're very similar in how they do things. Why on earth would I get a four-year older version of what I already have?
I don't know. I mean, my only answer to that for the Rams would be like, it seems like this McVay gets a little bored, so maybe he wants a new challenge. I don't know.
Oh. Then he going from high school to the grad program messing with Aaron Rodgers.
But I think if the Rams or whatever, if the Giants sweeten the pot on Stafford because he's just like, I'm not going to pay Stafford anymore, and he gets Rodgers on the cheapskies, I guess that's probably the answer on why they do it.
And why would Stafford go to the Giants?
So because contender. My guess would be they don't want to pay. The Rams don't want to pay him. I would guess the Giants give him a little money boost because I think he's only got like $4 million guaranteed next year or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I think like they would probably give him what, like a 2-year deal, pay him oodles of money, and then Aaron Rodgers goes to the Rams on the cheapskies. But I had to guess. If I had to guess. That's not what I heard about Aaron Rodgers, though.
I would say this. 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers ain't going nowhere cheap.
But it's a Russell Wilson situation, right? Like, he's going to get his money, so he'll probably just go somewhere. He'll get, you know, he's not going to get an insane amount of money. He'll take the Jets' money and play somewhere for the cheapskies.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
That wasn't the story I was going to bring up, though.
Okay. So go ahead.
So Diana Rossini of The Athletic reports the New York Jets met with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers flew out to New Jersey to meet with the Jets brass. And supposedly the report was they gave him an ultimatum. And that ultimatum was no more appearing on the Rat McAfee show.
Whoa.
Yep. That was the report. She says, I was told that when he had conversations, when Aaron Grether had conversations with Aaron Rodgers about what the future looks like, he says, if you're going to be part of this team, you are going to attend all of training camp and you're not going to do Pat McAfee interviews anymore. They had conversations with him of, if you're going to stay here, here is what we would want it to be. And so this is, to me, Aaron Glenn taking, getting control back. But the word was after that like Aaron Rodgers, Jay Glazer reported, they basically didn't see eye to eye on that. And Aaron Rodgers was like, rats off a ship.
I mean,
it's so important for him to go on Pat McAfee and say his whatever nonsense comes to his mind. And then Pat McAfee responding, whatever you say, Aaron.
J-E-T-S Bunting. You know, they pay him for that, right?
Yeah, I'm aware. For sure. I'm aware they pay him for that.
A lot of money.
I know.
Okay.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. Just so you know.
I would say he's been more known for his Pat McAfee interviews lately than playing football.
I would agree with that. So. Which is a problem in itself. Right?
Yeah.
I just think if Aaron Rodgers is engaged and wants engage with the organization and with the process and wants to play football, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when was the last time we got the trifecta?
Ooh.
You see what I mean?
The Dolphins game. He was good against the Dolphins this year. He was. Yeah. You know, Brad McAfee's going to like have such a badge of honor. You're going to stay with the Jets here, but you stay with us. Hunting.
Prospects.
Oh, Peter Bendix is on the Bad Maggie show.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Bro, punting. Standing, train him.
Oh, God.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll mix things up on the other side. You rascals, Tobin and Leroy here with you. Hey, we got a contest for you, the Slam Dunk in Vegas. You guys can win travel and accommodations for one winner and three guests to Las Vegas, plus $20,000. It's easy to enter. Just download the free Odyssey app. You log in or register for an account and listen to WQAM or any participating station. You listen for each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your entry, and you can do it every day. The Slam Dunk in Vegas for your chance to win. Listen to WQM on the free Odyssey app. Travel dates are March 17th to the 22nd, 2025. And when in Las Vegas, stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination. And visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. This is a national contest. It is that time of the show. Frog Boy is back. About time. Jesus.
Gonna be a father.
Oh, man.
Yeah, about time. You know, oh, responsibility.
You know who had to do the board to start the show yesterday?
Oh, I saw.
Oh, he's aware.
That was rough.
He's aware. He's aware.
Did a great job.
And you know, this is all he kept saying. Ooh, I got access to so many buttons.
Oh, he loves the buttons.
I wish I had more time to explore the buttons. Wish I had more time to. I do love buttons. I've been asking, I've been asking the peeps and engineers, hey, when can I get a button board on my side? You know, it's possible. I know it's possible. They just don't want to do it.
Yeah,
you know,
they used to have the screen there, right?
I think it's still there. I feel like it's still there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
No, it was in the other studio.
Whatever, dude. Just give me buttons.
Write a ticket, dude.
Want them?
You have been on edge today. Right? Like, calm down. Right? Is there something we can help you with? Something you know? Is it
perhaps I had too much? No. I feel okay about the heat. Like, it is what it is right now. I would like the improbable to happen tonight? I mean, you know, that'd be great. I mean, am I down bad?
This has
bad?
The makings of a 43 and 41.
Yeah, do
43 and 39 or 42 and 40 team, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, would I like, you know, the Miami Heat to play productive basketball tonight and not, you know, in the year of our Lord 2025 to be able to score 90 points? Just 90. 90 points. That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Would I also like Jimmy Butler to stop getting to the free throw line like he's D-Wade in the 06 finals? Just to show me, hey, there's a little wear and tear. Nope. Can I get that?
But my question to you is, does it piss you off even more to see him giving maximum effort?
It doesn't. Like, it's a weird thing. I told you about this. Like, it pisses me off about the way he broke it off, for sure. And I've struggled with, why am I not more mad? Like, I don't understand that. For a man who claimed to be Pope Petty back in the day in 2014, you know, my run of Petty in 2014 to 18 was something that has not been seen the likes of this earth. But I don't know. Maybe I've grown. Maybe I've become, softer in my old age. I don't know. I should hate it more. I should hate him more. Mm-hmm. But I can't bring myself to it, probably because I do think that he's still good. I understand that he's aged. And now he's with, you know, a generational talent in Steph Curry. And, you know, I should be more mad at it. I'm hopeful that, hey, he's had a month off. This is obviously the freshest Jimmy Butler you're going to get. Let's see what he does on a back-to-back against the Rockets.
Okay.
But I'll find that out tomorrow. For right now, he's dominating, and Andrew Wiggins shot 3 for 12. So I would like a little infusion. I need something to make me feel good tonight, whether that be a Khalil Ware 20-piece or Nico lighting it up or Wiggins having a great performance. I need something as a Heat fan because right now I'm empty. Let's mix it up, Frog Boy. The Mixed Bag is brought to you by Frog Boy's attendance. He's here.
Boink.
Boink. What do you got for us today, Marcos?
I got some words from former teammates that have now sparked a bit of a quibble amongst
former teammates?
Former teammates, former Hall of Famer, or future Hall of Famers. I believe one of them could be in yet, though. I know he's at least in consideration. I'm talking about Cam Newton and Steve Smith Sr.
Oh. Didn't they actually fight? Didn't they actually fight when their teammates? Didn't Cam Newton get punched in the face by Steve Smith?
No, I would not be surprised. Josh
Norman. It was Josh Norman.
Yeah. He punched Josh Norman?
Yeah.
Or did Cam fight punch Josh Norman?
Cam fought Josh Norman.
Steve Smith didn't punch Cam Newton?
Steve Smith punched a bunch of people.
I love Steve Smith. Angry. That guy was a dog.
Aggressive.
He should be in the Hall of Fame just because the amount of success at his size.
Yeah. He was a dog for real.
Yeah.
He should be in the Hall of Fame just so the Hall of Fame committee can avoid them getting punched in the face.
I'm looking for punches, Cam Newton. I don't got
it. He should be the only guy with a Hall of Fame bust that also has a fist with it. It's like there's his bust, but here's also his fist. It's like
you
this.
Mean like Detroit?
Yeah, he's the Joe Louis fist.
Oh. That might be the most incredible thing. You go down to downtown Detroit and there's a giant fist greeting you.
All right, so what is the beef there, Marcos?
Oh, look, there is an unspecified report that says, unverified report, I should say, from 8 years ago. Steve Smith cut in 2013 because he punched Cam Newton in the face twice in the locker room after practice.
I felt like I heard that story. Okay. I felt like I did hear that story.
Okay. All right. Well, it looks like they're going to squabble once again based off of recent comments made by Cam Newton. He was on Radio Row, Super Bowl Radio Row, talking to Travis Hunter. And he made a comment about being the first pick, meaning you are entering a locker room full of losers, which, of course, his former teammate, Steve Smith Sr., didn't take very kindly. This was Cam Newton's comments.
When I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers.
How did you handle the pressure of being the top pick?
Let's put it in perspective. You're the top pick because what?
Where you play.
No. You're looking at it from a personal situation. I'm talking about from the professional situation. You're the top pick because that was the worst team in the NFL the year before. For me, I wanted to be the number one pick. You could potentially be the first pick, but bro, you have no way of impacting the game like a quarterback does. You can lock down the number one receiver. You can make impact plays on offense all you won't, but it's still not like a quarterback. My issue is when I was the first pick, I went into a locker room of losers. Guys didn't know how to win. Guys didn't know how to prepare. It was a culture shock for me. The games don't mean a lot to a lot of people in the league like you would expect. It's just money. Not everybody has capabilities to be impact players. They're just players.
All right. And what did Steve Smith, how did he respond to this? Because those are pretty biting words.
Yeah, I'll say for sure. His response came in the version of tweets. He says he started off lightly. 53-man locker room minus one equals 52 losers. Wow, breaking news to 89. In which he continued after sharing some tweets with some fans who were responding. He said, I've never backed down from my words. However, calling the men in the locker room losers isn't slander. It's disrespectful. I disliked a lot of things that happened with my time, but calling men losers is not something he does. He also called out Cam Newton. It was a bit much. I mean, I get the full context of it.
Keep in mind, you're talking about grown-ass men.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And I would say this. I lost more games
my rookie year than I lost in high school and college put together.
Boof.
And at no point in time did I think I was in a locker room full of losers.
Hmm. Did you have players, though, that were kind of like he said, where they're like, man, this is just a check to me?
Well, see, when I got there, the Cleveland Browns were really, really old.
Wow.
I'm talking about really old. A lot of 30, early 30, mid-30s guys, okay? Bill Belichick came in and immediately made the team younger. So that, you know, just keep in mind that there were two guys on the team when I got there that their first year in the league, I was 8 years old. So just imagine how football itself changed over those years. And so I would say that it was different. You know, football was different from the time they took over till the time I got there. That being said, I would still never go to Ozzie Newsome, Clay Matthews Sr., Webster Slaughter, Bernie Kosar, Kevin Mack, and Eric Metcalf and say, I'm here now, you guys are losers.
Yep.
You see what I mean? So
yeah, for sure.
So that is the part, and I would also say this. Let's not make it sound like you did a whole bunch of incredible winning, because one of the biggest things with Cam Newton is, you remember in the Super Bowl when he didn't go after that fumble.
Of course.
And that's, you know,
Very infamous moment, like people.
Right, right. So sometimes when you stand on your pedestal and look down on all the people you went to battle with, they know parts of your story that others don't know.
It feels like such terrible advice to give Travis Hunter.
It does. It does.
Feels like it's like, hopefully Travis Hunter was like, you know what I'm not going to do?
Is say that. He was right, but what he should have did was, you know, you got to go in there and be a positive impact. You got to be a guy who changes the culture. You got to be a guy who helps the transition, because you know you're going into a bad, you know, you're going into a team that hasn't had a lot of success. But to make it sound like he came into the league as the first pick and was Tom Brady is what the indication that people would take from his comments. And that wasn't the case at all.
What else you got in the mixed bag, Marcos?
We will continue on in the mixed bag with a little bit more of a inner division rivalry as opposed to teammates feuding. This time, though, Dak Prescott takes the high road and credits the Eagles for their championship.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned it and they deserved it by all means. But, very close, especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see them, to see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would say this, is that there's a lot of teams who look at the Eagles. Hell, the Rams played them the best that any team's played them all year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of teams, but let's not be foolish here. There's a lot of teams that said that about Kansas City this year.
For sure.
Right? And what I would say is, the way that game unfolded Sunday, there wasn't a team in the NFL that was beating that.
When you say that, it's like when it reminds me of like the Lakers a couple of years ago when the Nuggets made the finals and they're like, it was a close sweep.
Right.
And I'm like, cool. Great.
Right.
Great.
Well, and awesome. And I think Dak, and he did the right thing. He gave them credit, but he said, look, every game that we played against them
we competed with them. So from our standpoint, right, when we see we competed with the two teams in the division that made it to the NFC Championship, like, guys know, based on how they played against them, that they have a chance. And that's all he was basically saying, that it's not like when teams look at Kansas City in the AFC, you're thinking there's only one or two teams that can compete with them, right? There's a lot more teams in the NFC that feel that they could compete with the Philadelphia Eagles based on how they played them. Again, but that being said, of the 31 teams, nobody was beating that team that played on Sunday. Nobody.
What else you got in the mixed bag, Marcos?
We briefly mentioned it earlier in the show. Kevin Durant reaches 30,000 points. It was against the Grizzlies, and a fan of Kevin Durant, Ja Morant, had the opportunity to grant KD with the game ball, which I'm not sure you see that very often in basketball. Usually, you know, it's like you score a touchdown with that ball, make sure you save that ball. But
yeah,
it was kind enough of Ja to grant one of the players that he looked up to the game ball. This is him talking about it after the game.
He one of the greats. He one of the greats. So I honored him with the ball. He said he ain't care too much about it, but hey, everybody don't get 30K in this league. So hats off to him, and I hope he keep going. We want to see him out here.
Make sure you get him that ball. Thanks, Josh.
There you go.
There's only been eight.
Ah.
There's only been eight players. I don't know. Let me get the... Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, it was a great form. He's good. Hey, like, and it's really crazy to me that the Suns went down the path of really like getting close to trading him and being in that position. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on over there in Phoenix, because very clearly their whole genius in all this, like, think about how crazy the Suns situation is, right? They really spent like this entire thing, their whole little move that they tried to pull with Jimmy Butler, all on the hopes that they could bully Bradley Beal into taking waiving his no trade clause. Like, they made all these promises that they couldn't keep in the midst of all this, because they really thought that they could get Bradley Beal in a situation where he would waive his no trade clause, which he was never going to do. And honestly, if you guys paid attention to anything and the way that he behaved in wanting to leave Washington, like, he never really was pushing the gas pedal to get out of Washington. And basically, until they told him, hey, man, we're rebuilding, we want you out of here. And so I'm just sitting here thinking how hilarious it is that, wait a minute, you guys were basically doing this for 2 months. Right. While the Miami Heat were sitting here dealing with all the Jimmy stuff and suspending him left and right, you guys were on the other side of that thinking to yourselves, I can't believe this Bradley Beal's not going to waive his no trade clause. And your answer to that was, we should trade Kevin Durant. And we should also make sure Kevin Durant finds out from Twitter. And that's going to go over well, because, you know, Kevin Durant notoriously has things go well with him when he sees a ship sinking in a franchise. Yep. Like, I don't understand what that dude is doing over there. All right. And I'm not here to poke and say, because I understand Miami's got its own issues right now, but just because they were linked with all this, I can't believe that their ripcord moment was, man, I can't believe Bradley Beal didn't waive that no trade clause he said he wasn't going to waive. Let's trade Kevin Durant. And now Kevin Durant is sitting here and is like, he's so rats off a ship. This team is not very good. And they're just in this crazy situation of like, wow, we're going to end up here stuck with Bradley Beal. And then Kevin Durant's going to walk on us eventually. So I don't know, man. I found all of that stuff really, really funny. I can't believe that they got to that point where, like, you got Kevin Durant, and you were sitting here and being like, nah, don't worry. Bradley Beal's going to waive that no trade clause. And Bradley Beal's like, Bradley Beal's agent literally came out. Leroy, every week, the guy, his agent, was on the record saying Bradley Beal is not waiving his no trade clause. He's not doing it, not going to do it. And you had these people being like, he's going to do it. And finally, they're just right. Like, man, I can't believe he didn't do what he said he was going to do.
Right.
I'm like, what? Crazy to me, dude.
So I have the list.
Of what? The 30,000 scorers?
But this is the player to reach 30,000 or more. So it becomes a little confusing here. Because it doesn't give you how fast they did it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
No, he's not. It says LeBron's the youngest.
LeBron, Kareem, Karl Malone, Kobe, Michael Jordan, Dirk, and Wilt. You're welcome.
Thanks, Wilt, man, is the quickest, though.
Yes.
See, that's not the quickest.
Nope.
Wilt did it in 941 games. Jordan did it in 960 games. But the list, I'm saying, it shows all of their, you know, numbers.
We'll take a break. Get you caught up with your headlines. More to come after this.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2-pound strawberries or 18-ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.